from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Meissert is ready. He throws. Swinging a ground ball to third. Devers has it. Crow hop. Throw to first. In time. Ball game over. And the Red Sox losing streak is over in dramatic, impressive fashion. 6-0 here. Tyler O'Neill, 2 homers. Cooper Criswell, 7 shutout innings, Lou. And that was all around one of the great wins of the year.
It really was. You really needed this game. You know, you look at coming out, dropping 4 out of the break. 3 of them you had the lead in the 8th. You had it late. You had 5 blown saves in just the first 4 games coming out of the break. Criswell does an amazing job stepping up here today, 7 scoreless. The offense put 6 up the first 3, hold on to this one, and just kind of ease the tension a little bit, kind of get you back. And again, you look at that scoreboard, everybody losing, so it's like you gain a game on everyone, and you can just sort of breathe a little bit.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
A much-needed win for the Boston Red Sox as we approach the trade deadline. Sox take it over the Rockies 6-0 at Coors Field tonight. And after all the worrying, 4-game losing streak coming into today's game, the Red Sox win. They shut out the Rockies at Coors Field. Of course, one of the most or the most hitter-friendly park. And now they're just 1 game out of the wild card once again, trailing the Twins and the Royals. So feeling a whole lot better today than we felt after yesterday's loss, which was a 9-8 loss in 12 innings. So many arms used. You worried about how many were going to be used in this game and if the Red Sox could get it done. Well, they do. They set the tone early. 3 runs in the first inning, 2 more in the second, 1 in the third. Tyler O'Neill goes deep twice, and Cooper Criswell delivers one of the most important starting pitcher outings of the year. Joe Weil with you, Zach Coe behind the glass. Great to be reunited with Zach. We want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. 937. Do you feel better after this win, or do you need to see this team win tomorrow? Because if they can pick up a series victory, take tomorrow's game, then go into that Yankee series with a little bit of momentum, I think the whole fan base is going to feel a whole lot better about things. There are some that I've seen out on Twitter, people worrying about, you know, where this team is heading and if they're going to change course and be a seller where, you know, they hadn't really picked a lane or they hadn't publicly picked a lane yet. But I think with the way things were going, you worried, okay, if they continue to lose, do they have to sell? Or will the front office decide, okay, this team isn't worth investing in? I think even if they lose tomorrow, they still are. But if you win tomorrow, you go into that series against the Yankees feeling good, and that team feels more beatable with each passing day, and you've already taken 2 series against them, I'd feel very good about where this Red Sox team is at. And a night like tonight has recentered myself, hopefully you out there listening, but of course, if they win tomorrow, it feels even better. Let's hear from Alex Cora on what he had to say after a 6-0 win for the Red Sox over the Rockies.
Very important, just where we at pitching-wise and what we need to do tomorrow to try to win a game, for him to go deep into the game and give us a chance to win was outstanding.
You've been to this park a lot. Like, how impressive is it to see someone being able to get
it? Good job. I mean, a lot of ground balls. We played good defense behind him. We had a big lead right away, so he was pounding the strike zone with good stuff. I think the cutter played a little bit more today than in the past, you know. I don't know what was the usage of the changeup, but he kept it on balance. He threw strikes and induced a lot of weak contact.
Offensively, too, how nice is it to have that type of performance against a lefty, no less?
Yeah, I mean, Rafi put a good swing right away. T.O. got a changeup in the zone, hit it in the air, 3-0 right away, kind of like let's breathe a little bit, you know, and then we just continue. I mean, the aggression base running wise, you know, I mean, Jaren scores from first on a ball that doesn't get to the gap, you know. 3-2 count, got a good lead, got a good second, and he took off, and we put the ball in play, and we score. And then, obviously, T.O. with a big swing. But I think overall a good one. I was very pleased with the defense. You know, we were we turned a few double plays, and, you know, obviously, Coop from the mound, you know, set up the tempo of this one.
What were you thinking when you walked up to see Devers?
He'll be fine. Yeah. Nah, I mean, obviously the worst, right? We've been through this path before, but he's okay. He just jammed it, you know. He took some vicious hacks in the last at-bat. He said he'll be ready for tomorrow.
What about the Tyler O'Neill's home run show there in the first few innings?
Yeah, I mean, we were joking. You know, I know Bobby Witt is putting the show right. He had 3 hits in 4 consecutive games, but, you know, the way he started the second part of the season, T.O., you know, I think it was 2-3-3, and then the 2 homers today. He's in a good place. You know, we really like. We've been trying to find this lefty thing, you know, how we can maximize everybody, understanding that Rafi and JD are going to play. Ref is part of it. Wong is swinging the bat well. I mean, he ran into two at-bats against a lefty, having Massa behind him, and he did damage. So we'll keep playing with it. You know, there's certain days we're going to get beat by a lefty. Sometimes he's going to be like that. But we felt pretty confident that, you know, he was going to get at least 2 against a lefty and do some damage.
You said that you would like the way that the team had been playing, but good just to get a win, like, nice feeling just to get a win.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good. Winning is better than losing, right? I mean, we play well. We were 3 pitches away from having, a 4-1 trip so far, but that's the way the game goes, you know? Like, the Houston Astros are the hottest team in baseball, and they're about to lose 4. You know, that's nature of 162. You know, this group doesn't get caught up on the winning and losing. We know we get a chance to win the series tomorrow. Happy flight, go home, and enjoy the families on Thursday, and be ready for New York and Seattle. You know, at home.
You just think coming out of the All-Star break, you feel it more when there's a few losses in a row.
It's kind of like opening day, right? I mean, you start off 1-4 or whatever, it's a big deal, you know. But I think now, you know, we're gonna play a game tomorrow. Hopefully we win the series, and then we'll get into the flow of the second part of the season.
All right, so that's Alex Cora talking after the Red Sox 6-0 victory over the Colorado Rockies, and he had to love what he saw from his team today. And you just heard him talk about Tyler O'Neill in the way that this lineup has been trying to figure out how to maximize itself against left-handed starting pitchers, which the Sox were 12-18 against coming into today's game. Well, they did a nice job against Ty Block, the starter for the Rockies. Now, he came in and, you know, really wasn't that impressive. The numbers, 5.46 ERA in 16 outings and 9 starts. And he has been hammered by right-handed hitters. And then you look at the numbers that Tyler O'Neill had coming into today's game. You figured that this was going to be a great matchup for Tyler O'Neill. And it was. He's got a slugging percentage over 1,000 against left-handed pitchers, and he takes Block twice deep. And the second time, I was surprised that they actually kept him in, because he had already hit one 437 feet, and then he said, I can do it one better. 465 feet the next time. And he's been awesome. And we're going to have to hit a break in a moment. And we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937 is the number to call in here. 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937. We also have some news that we want to share with you. As our own Rob Bradford, he'd already reported this. It's been confirmed by a couple of other sources as well, that the Red Sox are possibly seeking a reunion with James Paxton, who was DFA'd by the Dodgers. There is some interest on the Red Sox side to ultimately get him within their organization. But I want to just get this one thought off quickly before we have to go to break. You know, we can talk about all the trades the Red Sox could make here at or before the trade deadline, but one of the masterstrokes here from Craig Breslow in his first year as the chief baseball officer was dealing away Alex Verdugo and getting Tyler O'Neill here. We know this offense needed a right-handed bat. And Verdugo, he was that extra outfielder when you looked at the future and what was ahead and the fact that he was in the last year of his deal. What a job by Craig Breslow to get some pieces back for Alex Verdugo and then go out and get Tyler O'Neill. I mean, the fact that it only costs this team Victor Santos and Nick Robertson just goes to show how well executed all of that was. They traded out one guy, got in another that fit a whole lot better, and he has been awesome for this Red Sox team. And again, he's at 20 home runs now. He hit two tonight. Red Sox win 6-0 against the Rockies. A much-needed win for this team that is trying to continue to build its case to be a team that buys at the trade deadline. We will get to your calls and text messages next. We'll take a quick break, come back with more here on Red Sox Review right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Big hitters count, 3-1. Swinging a high fly into center field. Doyle back at the track, at the wall. He will watch it fly. Adios, Tyler O'Neill. A two-run homer to straightaway center, and it's 3-0 Red Sox.
Well, we mentioned it coming in. I was joking, saying the first one to 15 wins. Maybe 10, I don't know, but you want to come out of the box here right away, put some runs up again. It's, you know, Cooper's on the mound, hopefully keep you in that one, give you some length, but that bullpen's a little unknown. You really want to get healthy here offensively, put some runs up, try to put this thing away.
One of two bombs for Tyler O'Neill tonight. Boy, has he been fun to watch recently. And it's his second multi-homer game in his last four contests. He had that two-homer game against the Dodgers on Saturday. But at least today, the two homers were part of a win. Red Sox end their four-game losing streak as they win 6-0 against the Colorado Rockies. Cooper Criswell was awesome today as well. Those were the two stars of tonight's ball game, with Tyler O'Neill hitting two home runs. And then Cooper Criswell at Coors Field, he ends up tossing seven shutout innings, allowing just five hits, one walk, strikes out four, threw a lot of strikes, 70 strikes and 105 pitches, and got a lot of ground balls as well, 15 ground balls, five of which hard hit, which were actually the only hard hit balls against him tonight. So awesome stuff from Cooper Criswell. A career night, a career high seven shutout innings, and he does it in all places. Coors Field, a place that has been so hard to figure out from a pitching side of things. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. Zach, who's the most notable Rockies pitcher that comes to mind for you? Like, that was actually good.
All right, I've got two. I'll give you a starter and a reliever.
Let's hear it.
Starter, Ubaldo Jimenez.
Okay, that was
obviously.
Yep.
Reliever, Brian Fuentes.
There you go. Those are the two that actually that came to mind for me. John Gray was pretty good, right?
Yeah, I actually forgot that he was a Rocky.
It's a place where pitching careers usually go to die.
And they used their first-round pick last year on Chase Dolander for some reason.
Yeah. Go figure. Go figure. I remember when they signed those big deals back in the early 2000s. It was like Mike Hampton, Denny Nagel, and both those guys were awful because they just couldn't figure out Coors Field. But Criswell tonight, that was huge. They needed that so badly. And it's a little ironic because we all are talking about what this team needs. And when we have this conversation, one of the things we say is a starting pitcher. Now, I think that's still extremely valid because injuries happen. And what you need is depth. And Criswell is perfect as a depth piece. But he stepped up tonight, and that was awesome to see because the Red Sox needed it so badly with where their bullpen's at. But they still need another guy because you're in a better spot if you have six possible starting pitchers compared to five. And I think we can toss out Josh Winkowski as a starting pitcher at this point. I feel comfortable doing that. And we'll see who that starting pitcher is if the Red Sox get somebody. It seems like James Paxton seems more and more as a possibility, who got DFA'd by the Dodgers, even though the numbers, if you just look at them, they look solid. But the Dodgers, they've been getting, or they're about to get a couple pitchers back. So they feel like, okay, we can DFA him because the under the hood numbers don't look great. So we'll see if the Red Sox go after Paxton or if they try to go after somebody that's had a better season like a Chris Bassett or an Eric Fetty. It is a fascinating discussion to me.
Where do you stand on that? Because to me, it kind of just feels like if they go out and get Paxton, it's like, all right, like he got DFA'd and like he was a solid, like I'm admittedly being biased towards the fact that he got DFA'd. Like if that was their move and he was just on the Dodgers and they traded for him, I don't think I would feel as strongly one way or the other. But I kind of feel like it's a cop out to just go get James Paxton, who was DFA'd.
I'll say this, Zach. It would be better than nothing.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was the issue last year, right? They did nothing from the starting pitching perspective to help things out. I'm with you in that I think it would be understandable, but I'm thinking a little bit bigger in my mind. Like I'd like them to go get a Bassett or even a Kikuchi or, you know, we've talked about Fetty a lot too. Like that would be more inspiring than bringing back Paxton. But it wouldn't be awful, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I think I'm on the same page as you. I've been kind of looking at the deadline as like, oh, they need to add an arm, and the arm that they're going to add is going to be the third starter come a wild card playoff round. But that might not necessarily be the case.
Right, exactly. And if you go back to last year, they didn't add any starting pitchers. Mauricio Jovera, Nick Robertson, Justin Hageman, and then Luis Urias. That was it. Who I know he had a couple grand slams mixed in there, but overall didn't do a whole lot. So I wouldn't be so unhappy, but I'm thinking a little bit bigger in my mind. I'm not thinking Garrett Crochet. Tarek Skubal, for the people that think that that's a possibility out there, just forget about it. And I don't think there's a ton of people, but I've just seen it floated around. Like, forget about it. Tyone is somebody that's come up a lot more recently. I'm intrigued. You know, he's on the hook for $18 million for a couple more years. So I wouldn't be opposed to it. And he's got the tie-in with Craig Breslow, and he's had a good year. And I think he'd be, you know, you'd be getting him. He's somebody that's like, okay, if he's your three or four, you're in a good spot, which is what I think he would be in this role. Because, okay, you got Tanner Houck as your one, right? And then, yeah, I guess after that, Cutter Crawford's your two at this point, in terms of what the production's been this year. But I'd feel better if, like, Bassett was a two. You know what I mean? Like, I think pushing a couple guys down a little bit would make me feel better about where this rotation's at.
Yeah, and I think if we, let's just take the three names that you rattled off, Kikuchi, Taillon, and Bassett. I think I have Taillon right in between Bassett and Kikuchi.
Right, right. I and that's where I am, too. That's where I am, too. I mean, Bassett, you'd have to give up something really legitimate to go get him, and that's a part of the discussion, and if it's worth it, and if the Red Sox also want to take on his money, too. So it's all fascinating. But the Paxton part of it, again, it would be better than nothing is the overarching point. And, you know, we've kind of all been yelling at this team, or maybe yelling is a little bit strong, but we everybody, and myself included, has been a proponent of do something. Don't just sit there and do what you did last year. This team is better than last year. I think they've shown that, and I'm more confident about this year. And what I'm also more confident about is the other teams in the wild card race. Like, I think you have as good of odds as the Royals. I think you have as good of odds as the Twins. I am still not convinced that the Yankees are better than you. And I think this upcoming series at Fenway will, you know, tell us who's better team. I mean, maybe not completely, but this Yankees team that you're now chasing, which you're now, what are they, 4.5 back of them now? Like, they have Luis Severino had a comment. It was a joke. And he tried to, like, backtrack a little bit. from it because it got a lot of attention. But he's like, yeah, their lineup's got two guys. They do. That's it. And I hit it on it earlier, but like getting rid of Verdugo and bringing in Tyler O'Neill, that's brilliant. That ended up being a brilliant move. And now he's hurt your rival as well. He had a good start to the year, but he's really fallen off since then. Not to mention just the vibes around that team specifically. So the window is open here still. And that's even with the four-game losing streak that preceded tonight, I still felt the same way about this team. Help them. Help them because they have a chance to make it and a pretty sizable chance compared to the years before. It's like, you know, at the very least, it was, I think Baseball Reference had them at 48% chance to make the playoffs, and then Fangraphs was around 34. So that's better than it was at the deadline the last couple seasons. It's a different team. Help them. So if it's Paxton, that would be better than nothing. But I'm thinking a little bit bigger.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess if you do go with Paxton as your rotation upgrade, then maybe you are willing to expend a little bit more prospect capital in order to get, say, a right-handed bat like Randy Arozarena or somebody maybe with a little bit more versatility. So I guess it all depends on how they want to divvy up the assets that they're willing to move this deadline.
Right, right, exactly. That boy, he would be fun. And he would, I mean, you know, you put him in the outfield, obviously, and like they'd have to figure that part out. And this is a long-term discussion part with the Red Sox that's fascinating about their outfield and all the left-handed bats that they have. You know, if for the future, the Roman Anthony's that are, of course, in the minor leagues, but then Willier Abreu and Durant and all that stuff, it is fascinating to think about. Let's go to the phones because Paul in Westfield, he has been hanging on very patiently. Paul, as always, thanks for joining us. How you feeling? How you doing?
Well, I'm feeling awesome. I'm about to go off and flip. I have a power pack moment for you, but Zach tells me who has 23 triples. Did Cora get his money's worth last night? I heard Morgan was making such blatantly bad calls that a strike right down the middle and Cora flipped. Does he foam at the mouth and give him the bovine excrement speech?
Yeah, I mean he was well within reason to be upset with some of the calls made by home plate.
Yes, sir. It's evidence in support of egos of idiots. Bring in the robo and let the sports and athletes determine the outcome, not imbecile referees.
Paul, just to cut you off there for a second, I don't want robo umps, but what I do want is the challenge system that they have in AAA. It's like I've been able to call a couple games with the Woo Sox, so I've seen it up close. It is awesome. Right, like you still have the human element, but you have the challenge system where you can actually, you know, like stop the game. There's a team aspect of it that's super fascinating as well that can make it really fun, and you get to watch it on the big screen at whatever game you're at. So there's a fan element of it as well that I think is fascinating. I think there's a middle ground to be found here. But that's where, you know, again, like yesterday, that would have worked perfectly if they could have, you know, been able to challenge a pitch that Winkowski, I mean, he executed it perfectly, and it ends up going against the Red Sox, and the Rockies hit a double. It was Jacob Stallings with the double yesterday. Anyway, go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
Hey, hold on. Does this show you the box when you challenge it, and it's either like in Wimbledon?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
On the line or not?
It is exactly like that. It is exactly like tennis.
Perfect. That's what we need. Hey, Joe, this is wild. When you think Verdugo, Hugo, last year had a fit, mispractice, bad mouth us, and left. And who would ever think Hero now, two games in a row, double home runs. Tonight, two bombs for 902 feet, while Cutter Crisper is just ill, seven inning shutouts. And to think, only four strikeouts. That's not a lot. That's what you said. It's ball placement. You don't have to be a million miles an hour, but if you can put it on the outside corners and make it unhittable, or where they're not getting under the ball, I'll take that any day. And imagine Durant. We haven't brought this up, but your super producer is going to verify who had 23. But Durant, this is his first full year. He went back and forth last year. He's got to be most improved, like Hamilton, who replaced our super shortstop, had a home run first to bat and was terrible. Look at Durant with 11 triples. In 03, Nomar Garciapia had 13, and Zach said someone has 23. Who's that, Ted Williams? I mean, when you add up the offensive, I just got the
Tris
picture.
It was Tris Speaker, Paul. that had 23. Tris Speaker.
Imagine. And I'm starting to realize what Cora's doing. When he put four righties in to counterbalance and the lefty onslaught, he really is kind of a diabolical wizard who's cooked up a new recipe. And think, not to subject switch, but this is a process. And remember Yonkers? He inherited $4 million, bought the Red Sox less than a week, and in 44 years got three lousy pennants and that one ring. And, you know, what we're looking at, the potential and the way these pitchers can come out. With Hauk, and if Beowulf does well, listen, I think it's Hauk. If he can't pitch early, don't let him pitch. He's terrible later on in the game, and he's awesome early on. Figure out our niches, and let's pound them into the pavement. I believe we can overcome the Yankees. Two good offense and a dumping pitching, 60 games. Let's look forward and hit this ball out of the park, because this offense is wicked. And if our pitchers do what they can do, and on the right moments, on the right nights, we can go out there and crush teams.
I agree, Paul, on a couple different fronts, and appreciate the call as always. If you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. We're going to wrap up here in a couple minutes. The only part that he said that I think is worth coming back around on is Tanner Houck this year has been pretty good, you know, every time through the lineup, where that was an issue for him in years past. But this year, it's been a different story, and that's in part why he's been so impressive this year, is that he has completely changed the narrative of the type of pitcher that he is. So that's just one thing I wanted to kind of clarify what Paul was talking about. But, you know, otherwise, this offense is good. Like, they're a top 10 offense in baseball, which sometimes you look at the names. I think at this point, actually, you've probably come around to it because Duran is one of the best players in baseball. Devers is one of the best offensive players in baseball. Tyler O'Neill's been really good this year. Connor Wong also has had a great offensive season. And as much as this team has struggled against left-handed pitchers this year, you do have guys that are specialized in hitting them, like O'Neill, like Rob Refsnyder as well, who had another nice day at the plate, a couple hits and a big two-run double in the second inning. They just need to supplement it a little bit more. And I think as we've all kind of figured out in terms of where a right-handed bat would fit this team best is that first base spot, so you can have them platoon with Dom Smith. But it also helps that this team has Romy Gonzalez. Like, he is a nice piece to have on your major league roster. And when he is getting starts, he's actually producing in those starts as well. Like, he's been pretty consistent from that specific standpoint of, hey, you plug him in the lineup and he can actually get the job done for you and be pretty productive. I mean, he came into today with hits in 16 of his 19 starts and 19 for 62 in that span. So again, today has another nice start. Now, he got picked off at second base. That was not fun to watch, but otherwise this team just needs a little bit of help. That's what we keep saying. It's like, it's a good team, and that's why, in a different way than last year, I'm more sold on their prospects. And when I say prospects, it's not the players in the minor league system, it's their, you know, what could happen this year. But they need a little bit of help, and that becomes such a fascinating discussion over this next week. And who they're going to actually go after, or if they're going to go after somebody. Because Jeff Passan, and this is kind of the final thing to just hit on before we go, I mean, Jeff Passan had an article recently, and it was about what, you know, he'd been hearing around the sport, and it was basically that the team just, like, is still trying to figure things out. Alex Spirit, same thing. He had an article that came out recently where he talked about how they haven't fully ruled out moving some of their rental pieces, like a Tyler O'Neill who's on the final year of his deal. Same with Nick Pivetta or Kenley Jansen. Like, this organization, at least publicly and in terms of what is being reported, hasn't fully ruled out selling, which is a little bit of a bummer, but I also get it because you have to do your due diligence. So what do the Red Sox need to do? Keep winning. And if they can win tomorrow's game and win that series against the Yankees, I don't know how they couldn't buy. So they're in control of their own destiny in a lot of ways. And then if they don't, all hell will break loose in this town. I think we can agree upon that. All right, we'll wrap it up there. So the Red Sox are going for the series win tomorrow against the Rockies. 3:10 first pitch. MassMutual pregame show starts at 2:10. We'll see if they can get it done before the Yankees come to town. Trade deadline rapidly approaching. It's getting exciting. A lot of storylines. We'll be tracking it the entire way. I want to thank my man, Zach Coe. Great to be back with Zach after a week off not working with him. I missed him, but it's good to be in the same booth with him.
Missed you too. Glad you had a refreshing vacation.
Little relaxation. Always needed. We're back. We're back in the chaos. Where else would you want to be, though? Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review. I'm Joe Weil. Red Sox win it 6-0 against the Rockies, and we'll be back at it tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.